Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10. And last week was Pentecost Sunday, and I did not preach a Pentecost sermon, but this is a Pentecost sermon, so we're having it one week late. Exodus chapter 10, verses 1 through 20. Let us hear the word of God as it is read in our presence. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his officials, so that I may perform these miraculous signs of mine among them, that you may tell your children and grandchildren how I dealt harshly with the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, and that you may know that I am the Lord." So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, "This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will bring locusts into your country tomorrow. They will cover the face of the ground so that they cannot be seen. They will devour what little you have left after the hail, including every tree that is growing in your fields. They will fill your houses and those of all your officials and all the Egyptians, something neither your fathers nor your forefathers have ever seen from the day they settled in this land till now." Then Moses turned and left Pharaoh. Pharaoh's officials said to him, "How long will this man be a snare to us? Let the people go so that they may worship the Lord their God. Do you not yet realize that Egypt is ruined?" Then Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. "Go worship the Lord your God," he said, "but just who will be going?" Moses answered, "We will go with our young and old, with our sons and daughters, and with our flocks and herds, because we are to celebrate a festival to the Lord." Pharaoh answered, "The Lord is to be with you. If I let you go, then along with your women and children, clearly you are bent on evil. No, have only the men go and worship the Lord, since that's what you have been asking for." Then Moses and Aaron were driven out of Pharaoh's presence. And the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over Egypt so that locusts will swarm over the land and devour everything growing in the fields, everything left by the hail." So Moses stretched out his staff over Egypt, and the Lord made an east wind blow across the land all that day and all that night. By morning the wind had brought the locusts. They invaded all Egypt and settled down in every area of the country in great numbers. Never before had there been such a plague of locusts, nor will there ever be again. They covered all the ground until it was black. They devoured all that was left after the hail, everything growing in the fields and all the fruit of the trees. Nothing green remained on tree or plant in all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh quickly summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now forgive my sin once more and pray to the Lord your God to take this deadly plague away from me." Moses then left Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord. And the Lord changed the wind to a very strong west wind, which caught up the locusts and carried them into the Red Sea. Not a locust was left anywhere in Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go. Thus the reading of God's word this morning. The land of Egypt has just suffered from a great, great plague. The plague of hail has come down upon the Egyptians. The hail that came down from the sky has shattered their trees. It has destroyed their crops of flax and barley. It has killed many of their animals and some of their own people. But still left in the fields are the crops of wheat and spelt. And Pharaoh, after suffering this horrible plague of hail, has gone to Moses and Aaron and has sought their forgiveness and the Lord's forgiveness, and he has prayed for relief. But once again, after the hail was removed, Pharaoh hardened his heart. And so in Exodus chapter 10, God first gives us another purpose for these plagues, another reason why God continues to send plagues and Pharaoh continues to harden his heart. And that purpose is that God has something to show the people of Israel. Something that they can tell their children and their grandchildren about in the future. Before the Lord sent the hail, he said that he is raising up Pharaoh so that I might show my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. But now God's purpose in this plague of the locusts is to be something that their children and their grandchildren, not of all the people of the world, but of the Israelites, would know, that they would be able to tell their children of what the Lord did to Pharaoh and how Pharaoh was responding to the Lord and his commands, and that those children and grandchildren would learn from this and not do the same. And so, once again, Moses and Aaron go before Pharaoh. This time in verse 3, we read that they demand that Pharaoh humble himself. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? They ask Pharaoh. How long will your heart remain hard? How long will you refuse to submit to the Lord and to his commands? And this time, they promise Pharaoh that if he will not let the people go worship the Lord, locusts will come in the fields. And not only do they tell him that these locusts will come, but these locusts will finish the job that the hailstorm did not finish. They still have a food crop out in the fields. They still have their wheat. They still have their spelt, which has survived the hailstorm. Some of their trees still have fruit upon their branches. Yet if Pharaoh once again refuses to let the people go, their food will be gone. Well, this time, Pharaoh's officials are afraid. In verse 7, we read that his officials said to him, "How long will this man be a snare to us? Let the people go so that they may worship the Lord their God. Do you not yet realize that Egypt is ruined?" Pharaoh's own advisors who advise him on what the gods are telling him. Pharaoh's own advisors who are experts in knowledge of the gods and what the Egyptian gods should tell Pharaoh and how he should act. These own officials of Pharaoh are humbled. They're coming forth and they're saying, "Don't you see, Pharaoh, what is happening to Egypt? Don't you realize that this God of the Hebrews, the God of Moses and Aaron, is greater and mightier than anything we know or can explain? You must listen to this God. You must listen to Moses. Otherwise, Egypt will be ruined." Now that must have been something for Pharaoh to deal with. Pharaoh's heart remains hard, but even his officials are now somewhat coming to their senses. And his officials are taking a stand against what Pharaoh is doing. And so in verse 8 we read that Moses and Aaron are brought back to Pharaoh. Pharaoh asks them a question. "Go worship the Lord your God. But just who will be going?" And Moses answered, "We will go with our young and old, with our sons and daughters, and with our flocks and our herds, because we are to celebrate a festival to the Lord." And Pharaoh said, "The Lord be with you if I let you go, along with your women and children. Clearly you are bent on evil. No, have only the men go and worship the Lord, since that is what you have been asking for." Pharaoh is trying to make a deal with God. God has given him a command. God has told him, "This is what you are to do. Let my people go worship me." And Pharaoh, with his hard heart, doesn't want to follow that command all the way. But he wants to go halfway. "Just let the men go. That way I know that the men, my labor force, is truly going to come back. If the men know that their women and children and many of their animals are still here in the land, I know and trust that these men will come back and again be my slaves. And so the Lord responds. You'll notice that there is no response of Moses and Aaron to what Pharaoh has asked for. There is no further demand given or response. The Lord simply tells Moses, stretch out your hand over Egypt, and the locusts will swarm over the land. Now, even today, in the land of Africa, they still have locusts that attack countries. In the early part of this century, the National Geographic reports that in, I think it was 1913, 1914, a swarm of locusts came upon the continent of Africa. There were many countries that completely lost their food supply. Everything they had was eaten and destroyed by these locusts. They report that these locusts even went so far as to dig into the trees and to strip the bark off of trees. For a country, nothing is more devastating than to lose your entire food supply, to, as a people, suffer the hailstorm which destroys much of your crop, much of your work, and then to wake up the next morning and to find all of the rest of your crops eaten and destroyed by locusts. Even today, it's difficult to stop the locusts. As these plagues have come, or these swarms of locusts have attacked African countries, they still have trouble stopping them. They're limited in what they can do, whether they dump chemicals on them or whatever it is, because they have to be careful that they don't further damage the crops and the land. Truly, these locusts are a severe and a great plague for any country to deal with. And so Pharaoh sees the wind and feels the wind blowing. He sees the blackness of these locusts. And in verse 15, we read that they covered all the ground until it was black. They devoured all that was left after the hail, everything growing in the fields and the fruit on the trees, and nothing green remained on tree or plant in all the land. Pharaoh's Egypt is gone. They are a country that is left weak without food, vulnerable to attack, with great pains of starvation ahead of them. And so, in verse 16, Pharaoh again summons Moses and Aaron. I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now forgive my sin once more and pray to the Lord your God to take this death away from me. So severe is this plague upon the people of Egypt. So great is Pharaoh's suffering and his countrymen's suffering that he describes this plague as death. Please take this death away from me. And so, once again, Moses prays to the Lord. And this time there is a west wind that blows, and the west wind carries the locusts into the Red Sea. Pharaoh in his sight has witnessed a future judgment that will happen to him. Remember that Pharaoh asked that the Lord take, or that the people of Israel could let their men go, but they had to leave their women and children. And now at the end of the story, Pharaoh witnesses what will someday happen to his men and to his army. For as the west wind blows and carries the locusts into the Red Sea, later on the west wind will blow, and the waters of that same Red Sea will collapse upon Pharaoh and his men and his army. Pharaoh is brought temporary relief from these locusts. Pharaoh should know and understand that a greater judgment is coming unless his heart turns and becomes less hardened. But once again, in verse 20, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, and he would not let the Israelites go. Now remember, we are to learn from this plague. The Israelites, as God's people, as God's children, are to tell their children and their grandchildren about what has happened in the plague of the locusts. And what are they to tell their children and their grandchildren? They're to tell them about Pharaoh. They're to tell him about the hardness of his heart. They're to tell them about the demand of the Lord that he obey and listen to what the Lord is saying. And they're to tell them of how Pharaoh thought he could go part of the way. I hear your command, Lord, for obedience, but there must be something wrong if I totally obey you. There must be something bent on evil. These people maybe will try to escape and they will never come back. So I'm not going to obey you fully. I'll just go halfway. That's not good enough for the Lord. And once again, Pharaoh suffers the plague of these locusts. Once again, Pharaoh and his people are hurt, are destroyed, are damaged very greatly. And so the people of Israel are to remember this plague. They are to learn. They are not to do as Pharaoh did. They already know the end of the story, that the Lord eventually took the men of Pharaoh and destroyed them inside of that same Red Sea. But did these people of Israel do any better? Were they faithful in telling their children and grandchildren of how the Lord dealt harshly with the Egyptians? Did they not do as Pharaoh once did? Well, if you turn to the book of Joel, you will see a very similar plague coming upon the children of Israel. We read in the scriptures after the book of Daniel, after the book of Hosea, the prophet Joel. And in Joel chapter 1, we read very similar language as we have just read in the book of Exodus. Joel chapter 1, verse 2. Hear this, you elders. Listen, all who live in the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your forefathers? Tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation. What the locust swarm has left, the great locusts have eaten. With what the great locusts have left, their young locusts have eaten. What the young locusts have left, other locusts have eaten. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you drinkers of wine. Wail because of the wine, for it has been snatched from your lips. A nation has invaded my land, powerful and without number. It has the teeth of a lion and the fangs of a lioness. It has laid waste my vines and ruined my fig trees. It has stripped off their bark and thrown it away, leaving their branches white. Mourn like a virgin in sackcloth, grieving for the husband of her youth. Grain offerings and drink offerings are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests are in mourning, those who minister before the Lord. The fields are ruined. The ground is dried up. The grain is destroyed. The new wine is dried up, and the oil fails. Despair, you farmers. Wail, you vine growers. Grieve for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field is destroyed. The vine is dried up. The fig tree is withered. The pomegranate and the palm of the apple tree, all the trees of the field are dried up. Israel suffered this same judgment. Israel suffered this same judgment upon the locusts. They were a people who knew and who witnessed what had happened to Pharaoh. But they failed to tell their grandchildren and their children's children what happened to Pharaoh and his heart. They, as God's people, followed the same path, the same hardness of heart. If you look at the rest of the chapter, you see that there is a call to repentance. A call to repentance, for Israel did not listen to God. They did not obey his commands. They did not serve him and humble themselves before him as God had told Pharaoh to do. So So God punished them. God cursed them. They suffered the same plague. But what is the hope then for Israel? What is the hope for us, the long time descendants of the people of God, of the people of Israel? Well, the hope for Israel in the book of Joel is at the end of chapter 2, verse 28. Chapter 2, verse 28. And afterward, the Lord tells them, after your judgment, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and their young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show the wonders in heaven and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be darkness, we turn to darkness, and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be great deliverance, as the Lord had said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Israel is suffering the judgment. Israel, by their disobedience, by the hardness of their hearts, is once again cursed. But God is promising them of another day, of the coming of a spirit which will change their hearts, a spirit which will apply the obedience of God's Son, of Christ who will come and who will be obedient, who will keep the law, who will not have a heart like Pharaoh, but who did humble himself and go to the cross. And this Spirit will take his humbleness, will take his obedience, and it will apply it to the believers' lives, so that their hearts will no longer be hard as Pharaoh, so that as God's people they will no longer reject him and turn from him and his obedience, but their hearts will be changed and made new. And if you look at the book of Acts, chapter 2, you see these same verses from the book of Joel quoted on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, these same words from Joel are quoted as the Holy Spirit has come upon them. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all my people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And those following verses are the same exact words. God has promised that his spirit will do the job. His spirit will change hearts and will change people. They will apply what his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has done, and his Spirit will be upon them. But what about today? Are there still locusts? Does God's judgment still come upon us, or is this something we shouldn't pay attention to? Turn to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Chapter 9. In Revelation chapter 9, we read in verse 1, the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. The fifth angel that has sounded his trumpet, and the star that they see, the star is Satan, who has fallen to earth. The abyss that is described here is the place of God's judgment. And this star has been given some of God's judgment that he uses to throw upon people. And look what verse 3 tells us. And out of the smoke, the locusts came down upon the earth, and were given power like that of the scorpions of the earth. This is not final judgment the author is writing about. This is what's happening now. This is the description of what God and what he is allowing Satan to do now. There are locusts coming down upon the earth, and they have the power like of a scorpion. A scorpion does not destroy you. A scorpion can sting you. A scorpion can make you feel absolutely miserable. A scorpion can make you feel like death. Look at verse 5, Revelation 9. They were not only given power to kill them, they were not given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. We read here in Revelation 9 that the locusts that we face are the locusts of the sin of a hard heart. As Pharaoh's heart became harder and harder, as Pharaoh continued to refuse to listen to the Lord, as he continued not to humble himself, as he continued to not follow God's obedience but tried to swing deals, he found himself suffering the sting of scorpions. Greater and greater was his pain. Greater and greater was the judgment upon the Egyptians. So great was this judgment that at the end Pharaoh is saying, "Please remove this death from me." But this judgment, this pain, does not fall upon all peoples. For in verse 4 of Revelation 9, we read that these same locusts were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their forehead. The seal of God in Revelation 9 is the seal of God's Holy Spirit. Of God's Holy Spirit, which has been applied at Pentecost. The Spirit which changes a heart. Which changes a heart which is hardened, which delights in its sin, which refuses to humble itself before God, as Pharaoh was described. But a heart which is softened, which has the changing work of Christ that changes it. And that spirit, that seal, prevents those people from suffering the continued agony of their sin and their misery. Even today, as we read in Revelation 9, these same figures that were described in the days of Pharaoh continue. There are unbelievers. There are people who do not have God's Spirit, whose hearts get harder and harder against God, whose hearts continue to rebel, who do not see the future judgment that is plainly in front of them. Pharaoh asks that Israelites take their men only. And Pharaoh sees at the end that the locusts and his men eventually will end up in that sea. Pharaoh knows what is going to happen, but he refuses to listen. His heart is harder and harder, and he suffers more and more and more. That is the picture of someone who does not love God and do not love Christ. But we are called as God's people to reflect upon those who have the seal. The Spirit described in Joel, the Spirit that was given at Pentecost, the Spirit that has changed hearts and has brought and applied the work of Jesus Christ in our hearts and in our lives. And as we look at this plague, we are to learn, as the Israelites were supposed to learn, that we must not be like Pharaoh. That we know that if God judged Pharaoh, and if God judged Israel for their disobedience, for their hardness, God will judge us. But we rest in the hope and in the joy that God's seal, His Spirit, forever has us in His care. And we do not suffer as they suffered, but we rejoice in what Christ has done. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for what we can learn from this plague. For although this plague happened many, many years ago, we can see our own selves, Lord, in the life of Pharaoh. We see our own hearts, our hearts which knows what you demand, which knows the obedience that you command us to do, but our hearts, Lord, which loves our sin and which tries to go halfway or not demonstrate our complete obedience to you. And Lord, we see too about Pharaoh's hardness and the misery it caused him. And Lord, we rejoice that you did not leave us as your church and as your people in such a condition, but that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose obedience is applied to us by your Spirit, whose obedience changes and humbles our hearts. And Lord, we are thankful for your Spirit, which protects us from the misery of such a plague, of the misery of our sin, but which gives us hope always that what Christ has done is forever sealed before you and your throne in heaven. And Lord, we too know of a judgment coming. We know that what we experience in this life, suffering from the effects of the misery of our sin, is only a preview of a greater judgment. And so, Lord, we rejoice that your Spirit protects us and keeps us and makes us strong. And we pray all the more that your Spirit would continue to change our hearts and our lives as we live our lives daily forevermore. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.